Tes Vov Sivan, Tuesday the 2nd of June, Rabbi David Lewin, ruling in matters of halacha, paskening for oneself and for others.
This week's parsha, when the Mesonim came to Moshe to complain that they didn't have any meat and they were eating bread, so Hashem told them, take some zakenim and set them aside, and they'll give them Ruach HaKodesh, and they'll help you deal with the responsibility of leading the people. After they were finished with their job, there were two of the Zakenim, two of these elders kept saying Nevuah, and someone came running to Moshe Rabbeinu and telling him that the Eldad and Medad are still saying the prophecy in public, and Yeshua screamed out, Adoni Moshe Kloim, Moshe, my Rebbe, put them in jail, imprison them. So the Gemara in Erevin says that this time Yeshua transgressed a prohibition of paskening in front of his Rebbe, ruling in the halachic matter in front of his Rebbe. And because of that, the Gemara says that he didn't have any sons, he only had daughters. So it's very interesting if you think about it, that what was Yeshua trying to do here? He was trying to protect the honor of his Rebbe. And in doing so, what did he do? He messed up and he did something that's a pagia that detracts from his Rebbe's covenant. So I want to say here that when you run with zrizus, you're running to do a mitzvah, in the Shem Shemayim, you have to be careful that you don't trip and stumble in doing a similar aveil, especially when it's covered. Okay, so you have to know though what is the parameters of passing in front of your Rebbe. Imagine, let's just bring this down to earth, to a realistic example. Imagine you took a trip to Eretz Yisrael and you're at the coastal davening mincha, and somebody who obviously hasn't been from for too long comes over to you, hears you speaking English, and he says, I put on tzitzis this morning, but I forgot to make a bracha. Can I still make the bracha? And before you can answer that, of course, yes, you look up and you see about 10 feet away from you is one of the Gdolei HaPoskim in Eretz Yisrael, like an English speaker, Moshe Sternbach, for example, and he's there. You could send him over. Do you have to send this person over to him? Can you tell him, yes, make a bracha? Is that, are you, because you have not reached the level of a Talmud Chacham, of that this Pesach has, are you obligated to keep quiet? What if the question is more simple? What if the question is, what bracha do I make on an apple? Do I have to send it to you? If somebody comes to the shul, what bracha do I make on this fruit? It's obviously an apple. Do you have to send him to the rabbi who's sitting alone in the corner and would prefer not to be disturbed with such a question? What if the question is a little more complicated? What if, after going through the sugyas and ketzim levorachim, you came out with the conclusion that, as we did in our kol, that when you're eating a meal and somebody serves you cake at the end of the meal, serves you a piece of chocolate cake, you should make a bracha on that chocolate cake. I'm not passing for anyone what they should do, but that's how we came out in the kol, that chocolate cake for dessert, you should make a bracha on. So imagine you just went through the sugya, came out very clearly, spent weeks and weeks and weeks on it, and you came out very clearly you're supposed to make a bracha on this chocolate cake. And you're eating a Shabbos meal at your own Rav, your own Rebbe's table, and out for dessert comes chocolate cake. Can you make that bracha on the chocolate cake? What if you know your Rebbe holds that you should not make a bracha on the chocolate cake? What if you don't know what he holds? Should you ask him? Should you not ask him? Maybe you shouldn't eat the cake? No, that's not an option. Okay. So, we mentioned the Gemara Erevin with Yeshua. The Gemara Erevin says very clearly two things. It says, Afilu Be'er B'Koscha, even an egg in a kutach is a dip that was made with spoiled milk. It was a very delicacy in Talmudic times. But even something like that, you shouldn't pass in front of your Rebbe Rav Chisda when his Rebbe Rav Huna was alive. He wouldn't rule in such a matter. It's very simple. Rashi learns kapshutoi, that means an egg make it like a hard-boiled egg. Can I eat that egg? Since it came from a chicken, maybe it's fleishik, maybe it's considered like the chicken. Tosis learns it's a little bit more complicated, that we're talking about an egg that was found inside of the shechted chicken. Slaughtered the chicken inside and found eggs that are look like the ones you buy in the supermarket. Can you eat that? But that's also pretty clear that's a pretty straightforward case that it is permitted. The Gemara says that even Megillus Kindness, they didn't have, we have now Svarim, we have Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have, all their Torah was Torah Shebaal Peh, which we'll come back to, everything was oral. But Megillus Kindness was one sefer they had. It was a list of days that are days for celebration, days that are not for celebration. Even something like that, you cannot rule from in front of your Rebbe. So, how do we approach this? So, some Mishnayim, the Meiri's lashon is that a person cannot paskin for themselves until he becomes a Talmid Chacham. What exactly is the get of Talmid Chacham? The Gemara itself says that there's a difference between a Talmid, a student, and a Talmid Chaver. He's like a Talmid Chaver. He's not on par with his Rebbe, but he's somewhere up there. Right, so exactly what's the parameters of a Talmud, what's the parameters of a Talmud Chovev? So many Rishonim, the Marivayel and Tosfos and Ritva say that there's a difference between somebody who sets themselves up, he opens a Beis Haroah, he opens up a room and he says, come here and ask me shailos of halachic nature and I'll answer them, that's what's also. And someone who just is, as he goes through learning, he comes out with a psak, he comes out with a mahalach, a conclusion from his limud Torah. The Torah Chaim on Erevin says that this difference only helps if it's outside of Gilo Parsis. In other words, if he's within 12 mil, which is roughly 13 kilometers or something, less than 12 miles, away from his Rebbe, then he's allowed to paskin if he doesn't set up a shop for himself. But but within the close proximity of his Rebbe, he cannot rule in halachic matters, even in a one-time basis. But you have to know that there's another side to the story. The Rosh in a Tshuva, this is where it all starts, he says, well, if we think about it, who was the greatest Rishon of our Rebbeim? Who was the greatest? Rashi. Who was greater than Rashi? Without Rashi, we'd be lost in Gemara, we'd be lost in Chumash, we'd be lost in Tanakh. Yet, Tosfos, many of whom were his grandchildren, Rebbeinu Tam, Rebbeinu Yitzchok, consistently, constantly argued with him, and they ruled differently. He said that this is the derech of Torah, that Talmidei Chacham go and they go through the sugyas and they come out with a different maskara, come out with different conclusions than the Rebbe, and otherwise Torah wouldn't flourish without it. And Marie Bruno says that even a Talmud Muvah. In other words, nowadays we have, you learned a little bit from this Rebbe, and you learned from that Rebbe. Used to be a concept of a Rebbe Muvak, that somebody learned almost all the Torah from a certain Rebbe. The closest thing we have to it nowadays is somebody who learned in one yeshiva their entire life. And that the yeshiva as a whole sort of became his Rebbe. That's a different question. But the Marie Bruno says that even a Talmud Muvok, he had a close relationship with his Rebbe, and that's all of his Torah is from his Rebbe, he can turn into a Talmud Chaver and disagree with his Rebbe. When he gets to a certain level in his Torah studies, he can reach that point of arguing with him. And the proof, Majdam says, is from Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. We know that Rabbi Yochanan found Reish Lakish, who was a gang leader, and he was makar with him. He said, listen, I have a sister. So come learn Torah with me, and he taught Torah, and he became greater. And Rabbi Yochanan throughout Shas disagrees with Rish Lakish throughout Shas disagrees with his Rabbi. Rabbi Yochanan. So what's halacha? The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Samach Beis, I think it is, in Hilchos Krishma, where he goes off on a little bit of a tangent. The Mechaber over there says that a person cannot lie down to say Krishma at night and stand up in the morning like Beis Shammai. Because halacha is like Beis Hillel. And then the Mishnah brings a Marashal in Bava Kama. The Marashal, Yamshel Shloima in Bava Kama, so he says that a person, even if he is whose rugged but precious, he always, you know, is machmir, he cannot go and be machmir on something that is 100% mutter, because it looks like you, or it looks like gaivo, it's arrogant. We have to know two things. First of all, the Marashal himself in Chulin is very big on this gaivo nekuda. Over there, he's talking about eating milchiks and fleishiks and cheeses and then eating meat. And he holds that you're not allowed to be machmir. You're not allowed to wait. And if you eat chicken, you can't wait 6 hours because it's gaiva. Unless even somebody who is ragu but precious, he always is takes on extra chumos, extra stringencies. Unless he once had a michshol, he once stumbled and he made a mistake. Then he can take on sort of a preventative security fence for himself. Otherwise, he can't be machmir. That's what you have to know from the Marashal. Nevertheless, the Marashal, the Mishnah Berurah concludes, quoting the Marashal, that a person cannot be machmir even where his Rebbe is meiko in front of him, even where it's not so simple to be lenient, unless he has clear proof. So, why is Mishnah Berurah bringing this? So, could be the Mishnah Berurah is bringing this to let you know that the halacha is like those opinions that hold that a Talmud can disagree with his Rebbe and rule differently if he is 100% clear about it. So, the Marash Dam is a tshuva. And he says that this issur, this prohibition of passing in front of a person's Rebbe, was only in the times of the Gemara when everything was Baal Peh, everything was oral, was an oral transmission, there was no Sfarim to open up. And even though the Gemara says Megillas Tainis, which was a written document, a person cannot pass in front of his Rebbe, that's because it was a very small portion of Torah. But nowadays, says Majdam, that we have the Gemara written, and we have Shulchan Aruch, and we have Poskim, right? The opposite is true. A person has to know when to paskin. So he says, even though a person should run away from the honor of Tzach, but where there's no one around, he has to take the, what's the expression? He has to take responsibility and decide that he's going to become the Rav, he's going to become the leader, the Posek of his community, people of his Talmidim. So we have Shulchan Aruch, we have Paiskin. Pnei Yeshua writes a very interesting thing, that Pnei Yeshua says that usually he rules like Shulchan Aruch, which is a very funny thing. There's a little difference here, which is a whole other shir between the Sfaradim and the Ashkenazim. And the Sfaradim are really mishubed to the psak of the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch. The Sfaradim have to follow Shulchan Aruch. There are a few cases where the Sfaradim psak is different, but basically it has to fall in line with the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch. But in Ashkenazim we say an expression, Yetzim Biyad Ha'ma, that we go, which is a play on words, Yetzim Biyad Ha'ma, that we go out with an outstretched hand, but Yetzim Biyad Ha'ma of Moshe Yisrael, that we fulfill our obligation by following the Ha'ma. But it's not necessarily true that we always rule like the Ramah. There are several cases that the Mishnah Berurah rules differently than the Ramah. And there are places where the Gedolei Poskim rule differently than the Mishnah Berurah and than the Ramah. So we're not bound to the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The The Birkei Yosef says even more than that. Even a person is not higil or he's not reached the level where he can haskin for others. He can still rule a halachic question by opening up a shulchan aruch, opening up a mishnah berurah, opening up, seeing what to do. The shulchan aruch and the amba are our basis, and Sfarim say that it was written by Ruach HaKodesh. It wasn't just, you know, like I read a sefer and I went through the sugya and this is why I came out. It was an element of Ruach HaKodesh in the Psak of Chavon Ramon. That's what we can rely on. However, the Marashon Saita says that those people who pass them from Shulchan Aruch are making a big mistake. So just open up a Shulchan Aruch and follow the decision of Shulchan Aruch and making a mistake because they don't understand the reason. The Pesach Shuvah brings, however, that you have to understand where the Marashon was coming from. Times of Marashon, there was a Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. There was no Taz, there was no Shach, there was no Magen Avraham, there was no Mishtabur. There was no way of understanding the cryptic words of the Mechaber in many places. You can understand it simple, but you can't understand the reasoning behind his words without going through the whole sugya and the Beis Yosef to appreciate it. As a basis for this, the Shavuos Yaakov says that anyone who Paskins, even though he has reached the level of Hero, somebody comes and asks Shiloh, he shouldn't just take it off the top of his head. He should open up the Shulchan Aruch. And so you have to know who's asking. Sometimes it could detract from the COVID if you have somebody who doesn't have an appreciation for Torah and they ask a simple question and the Rov goes over to the shelf and takes it out. Yeah, the bracha on an apple is right. So you have to know what it is. The Debre Tzina writes about himself that anytime he had a specific child, anytime a child came to him, the Ben Moshe, Shalom was Ben Moshe, Debre Tzina, he was listed not so many years ago, he recently lived in New York. He writes, anytime someone came to him with a Shiloh, the first time he had that type of Shiloh, he would open up a Shulchan Aruch and pass it. After that, he relied on his memory. And memory from that case. But that's the... So open up a Shulchan Aruch. Now, there's a Be'er Sheva on Sanhedrin. The Gemara on Sanhedrin says, Kol HaChilik Al Rabboi is Chilik Al Shechino, Rashi's Al Shivosa, is Chilik on his whole position. So, how do you understand this Gemara? So, the Be'er Sheva says that it's not talking about Halacha. If he argues on his Rebbe and he tells his Rebbe, you know, you shouldn't wear a blue sweater, you should wear a black sweater. He does something that takes away from his kavod, from his Rebbe's kavod. But by arguing in Torah, adrabba, that's how Torah grows, Torah flourishes. When Talmid Chacham argue with each other, and the Gemara says, Taina says that Afilu Avod Nei. And feel rather Talmidah, when they argue, Nasim Oivim, they become enemies of each other. And the Gemara encourages this relationship of enemies in Torah. So how do you become an enemy with your Rebbe if you can't pass in front of him? Says the Be'er Sheva that you can't become an enemy in Milud Alma on other issues. But in Torah, I don't know, a person should argue with his Rebbe when he... Not for the sake of machlokes, but for the sake of getting to the emes, to reaching the truth. Rabbi Kiva Eger in, it's an interesting place. It's not in Kibud Rabbi, it's in Kibud Avraham, but it's right before. Brings this Be'er Sheva. So, Rabbi Kiva Eger himself is very cryptic. I don't know why he brings in Be'er Sheva because he wants to rule like it. He's just bring down the chiluk between Kibud Avraham. Kibud Avraham is not an issue of arguing in Torah, it's arguing in Kavod, in detracting from his Kavod. So it seems to be that Rabbi Eger is saying that the same thing is true, that in the issue of arguing on one's Rebbe is not in Torah, but only in things that detract from this Kavod. There's a tshuva from Moshe there was somebody, I don't know if he lived in America or and he was moving to Eretz Yisrael, or I think that was the case. He wanted to move to Bnei Brak for whatever reason, but he had a problem that he didn't rule, Talmud Chacham, and he didn't believe that the Chazon Ish's conclusions were necessarily right after he himself went through all the sugyas and whatever. The Chazon Ish had a lot of chumras. He had a lot of kulos also. People just don't know about them. People make a big deal of the Chazon Ish's chumras. But he didn't come out with the same conclusion. So he's afraid, how could I move to Bnei Brak? I'm going to be arguing with the Chazon Ish, who was the, at the time, the Chazon Ish was no longer alive, but he, the whole Bnei Brak is built on the Pesach of the Chazon Ish. So Moshe writes, judge only goes with what he sees, and that's true in Pesach as well, it's not just in monetary matters. A person has to rule in Halacha with what they know to be true. And he says, more than that, if somebody goes to Talmud Chacham, goes to the Sugya, and he comes out differently, it's also to rule like his Rebbe, unless his Rebbe, if his Rebbe is alive, so he should ask his Rebbe, you know, why do you rule like that? Maybe he'll see eye to eye with his Rebbe. But if he doesn't, calls man, he doesn't, he only can go with what he knows to be true, with the proofs that he came out with, and that's the way he should ask him. And he says, Adi Abba, to be a comfort for the Chazon Ish, because you're making Torah grow, that's how Torah flourishes. And then he says, a pshat in a Gemara in the Menachos. The Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai to get the Torah, so he saw a vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever this means, but drawing crowns on the letters of the Sefer Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, well, what are these crowns? And he said, don't worry, there's going to be somebody named Rabbi Akiva, and he's going to dash in thousands and thousands of halachas. Tell me, tell him halachas. But for these crowns. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, so why give the Torah through me? So, when Moshe says, shining these crowns is, Gemara's very soft, it's very close. But Moshe says that the pshat in these crowns is that these crowns is the crown of Torah. And the Torah is not meant to be decided based on what a Kodesh Baruch Hu knows to be true. It's based on what each Rav, each Pesach in his individual circumstances knows to be true. And that's why the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives the Torah. And when somebody goes through and he toils in the sugya, he goes through the Gemara, he goes through the Rishonim, he comes out with a conclusion, that's where he should rule, regardless of what Lord Bashamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intent was different, right? We know the Moshul in Tefillin, right? And there's Machloikis Rashi, Beit Tam, there's a lot more Machloikis, but some put on a Beit Tam Tefillin. Everyone agrees that the Halacha is like Rashi. There's a Sefer Shaias HaTshuvos Min HaShamayim, from a Rishon. He used to write down questions of halachic nature at night, and in the morning he found the bottom of the page of the answer. So he asked him, well, who's Halacha like in Tefillin? In the morning he found the answer written that it's a Machloikis B'Vuyin Hashem, the Pamal Yishamalo, the heavenly spheres, whatever that means, that Hashem owns Halacha like Rabbeinu Tam. So how do those of us who don't put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, how do we not? Even those who do agree that Halacha is like Rashi, somebody has a choice, put a Rashi Tefillin, you can only put on one pair. So how is that? Because the Torah is not in heaven, the Torah is here for us to go through and decide. Okay, so to wrap up, what do we come out with from here? What about this fellow at the coastal? What about the apple? What about my chocolate cake? So, if it's a matter that's pretty clear, You don't have to go, and the Rabbanim don't want to be disturbed to find to tell you what the tell people what the brachas are on an apple, right? If it's pretty clear, you open up a sefer, you rule. If the matter's a little more complicated, you can also open up a sefer, but you have to understand the reasoning behind what you're ruling on. A person always has to make decisions. You have to understand for yourself. You have to understand, right? When you're sitting down and eating lunch, you can't pick up the phone. You know, by every shayla that comes up, what bracha do I make on this? What bracha do I make on that? You have to know when to ask, when not to ask. So you have to have a havon. You have to have an understanding of the halachas. Right? My father-in-law told me a story. He learned by Shisko, who was a son-in-law to Moshe Feinstein, and I believe he was there when the story happened because I never heard it from anywhere else. Shisko Rebetzin, who was Ramesh's daughter, asked her husband, "Why aren't you a Pesach? My father's a Pesach." This is a very funny conversation. "My father's a Pesach. He's a big Pesach. Fastens for Kali Yisrael. Why aren't you a Pesach?" So Shisko was known as a Lambda. Right? He went through or Rashiva type in the Lambda season and came up Pesach. So he told her, "What do you mean everyone's a Pesach? You always have to make decisions. You have to decide, do I do this? Do I do that? Do I do this first? Do I do that first? I'm not passing for Kaliso, but every person has to know themselves what to do for themselves. And when to ask and when not to ask." So, you have to understand. I believe a few years ago I was here, I left a copy of my English paper, Shechayodim, which is really, this is the impetus behind it. People ask me why I wrote it. Why I wrote over the Chayodim is a different story. Well, but people learn Kitzur Svarim and they have no inkling of what the source of the halacha is. So people don't have the time or the abilities for different reasons to go through the sugyas and the essays and understand it. But you have to understand a little bit of the reasons, a little bit of the background, so you can understand when one halacha is connected to the next halacha and when it has nothing to do. So that you have to know when you can decide for yourselves and when you can ask.
Yeah.